Hey, this is Craig. Aaron can't make it today because, well, his ear looks like he stuck a hot iron to it. He can't even wear headphones right now, so he's going to get the week off, and today you get a little special treat. You're going to get to hear outtakes and little snippets that didn't make it into the other shows. So without further ado, here it is.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Story. Okay, ready?
I'm ready. Are we quiet for any reason?
We're quiet because I don't want to wake the kids.
Shout out to Randall.
Yes. Rare crocodile shark found off English
coast.
What's
a crocodile shark? I want one.
Maybe you don't.
Maybe I don't.
Maybe I should read a little further.
What is it? I did see a picture.
It's a rare species of shark related to the great white.
Ooh.
And never seen before in British waters.
British waters.
It's been found on a beach in... Why is it on the beach? Does it not know it's supposed to be in the water?
It thought it's part crocodile, man.
It was found on the beach in Devon in the country's southwest.
Yeah.
A crocodile shark, which is normally found in tropical climates such as Brazil and Australia,
uh-oh,
was discovered on a beach at Hope Cove near Plymouth.
Animals are getting confused.
It is the smallest of the mackerel sharks.
Holy mackerel.
I just got to recover from that one. We've been talking across the table from each other too long. A group that includes the deadly great white and is listed as near threatened by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
It's close.
Nearly threatened.
Somebody kind of said, you know what, I'll cut you, but they didn't show a knife.
It's like mostly dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue with the shark story, but I want you to know this next line means nothing.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from.
It's out of place.
Right after talking about the the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
Yeah, that's what we're just talking about.
It's going to say this. The shark circles divers moments before it breached the cage.
Oh, that's a very scary sentence. Maybe they just put that in there for shock value.
It was almost like they just pulled it out of a novel.
That's scary.
It shares distinctive spiky teeth. Big old spiky teeth. spiky teeth. And huge eyes with the great white, but adults grow to only around 1 meter in length and weigh an average of 13 pounds.
Well, that's not so scary. I've seen,
I don't know, dude. We got a little dog at home that's like,
oh, that's true,
about 1 pound wet. And
yeah.
His little teeth are not something to deal with.
Okay.
It is normally found in deep waters during the day in waters south of the Caribbean in the Atlantic and feeds on moderately small marine life,
well,
such
yeah
as fish and squid.
It's a tiny little thing.
Yeah. The dead specimen was spotted on a family walk by Stephen Greenfields.
Oh, yeah, old man Greenfields boy.
Yeah, who was so surprised, he sent photos of it to the National Marine Aquarium in Plymouth. Steve Greenfield, what are you, some kind of a fishologist?
Well, you look at that thing.
I got to take a picture of that.
I'm going to take a photo.
He said, we regularly visit this beach and have never seen anything like this before.
Yeah.
I would argue that certain times of the day, you might see other things you've never seen before. My whole family was stunned as the animal had really unusual features, but was unmistakably a shark.
Yeah, my brother's got pretty unusual features, but he's unmistakably human. But it just,
and more popular.
Whatever.
Ross Spearing and his son Nathan were also intrigued by the animal and sent in photos after spotting it on a walk. That's really odd. Why was the shark on a walk? What were you going to say?
I was going to say these people are receiving these pictures from all these people, and they're like, thank you.
Yeah, we're covered.
Yeah.
We know what that is.
We'll be there.
We don't really need that.
Eventually.
Experts say it was the first time a crocodile shark has been found around the British coastline where the cold waters offshore may have killed it.
Burr.
James Wright, curator at the aquarium, said, this species has never been recorded in the UK before.
Well,
James is a man of very few words.
Yes.
It's likely to be an isolated incident, but there have been similar stranding incidents in South Africa. This time of year, though, UK waters are their coldest, so this occurrence is very unusual. Paul Cox, managing director of the Shark Trust, it's a guy who trusts sharks.
Shark Trust. Ooh, wow.
He's a shark truster. Said he's only got one arm. said crocodile sharks were too small to be valuable,
what?
But were often landed as bycatch which was having an impact on their numbers. So in other words, they're not valuable catches. They don't want to catch them because they're trophies. They're rare. They're nearly extinct. They kind of get caught up.
No, they're nearly in danger. Nearly.
Yes. For all sharks, but especially the less common ones, any information that we can get is useful. So it's great that this one has been reported and identified, he added.
Okay, so we got weird sharks. Now, Craig, I was thinking, as I was going through and researching our stories for this week, we've never had a story that brought tears to someone's eyes, actually. And so I printed one off because it was kind of an odd headline. But after reading it, it's very touching.
So what you're hoping for is you're going to bring a tear to someone's eye.
I want our listener to cry.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for right here.
So if this doesn't work, if we don't get voicemails on our new voicemail phone number,
we'll talk about that in a minute.
We're going to assume that it did not make anybody cry.
Exactly. Okay. So here's the headline. Lakewood woman wants to find boy who left $5 an apology note on her door. So that's an interesting headline to me. I'm like, why? Why did he leave $5 an apology note?
Well, why don't you tell us?
Here we go. This is from Lakewood, Washington. A Pierce County woman wants to find the young man who left an apology note at her door with $5 in it. You ready for this? The note read, "I'm sorry that we stole your wind chimes. Our mom died and liked butterflies, so my sister took it and put it by our window. I'm sorry. This is the only money I have. Please do not be mad at us."
Is Jake from England?
Jake. No, I just wanted to get an emotional So
obviously Jake is a twisted little filthy crook.
Stop it. Jake's mom just died and they wanted something to remember her by.
And he brought back some money. So when somebody's mom dies, you can just go out and steal a car.
They brought back some money.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Chrissy Marie says she is not mad and actually wants to find Jake so she can return the $5. "Well, Jake, I'm not sure who you are, but you can come get your money back, sweetie. I had three of those wind chimes."
Because she stole them.
Chrissy wrote on Facebook, adding she can give Jake and his sister a second wind chime so both of you have your own. Oh. But she's going to have the cops waiting when they arrive say, gotcha.
It's a sting.
Chrissy told Q13 News that she lost her mother at 5 years old and knows how difficult it is to lose a parent, especially for a child. She reiterated to us that she does not wish to embarrass or scare Jake away. She wants to give him his money back. Chrissy says the note was left at her door Friday morning. She lives in the Woodbrook area of Lakewood. So if you know Jake, please email tips@q13fox.com.
That's actually a sweet story.
I told you it was.
I think she steals their souls and puts them in the wind chimes. Okay. What if it's hit and run? What if he hit somebody else?
No, we didn't hit anybody else. That would have been in the story.
Everything in print is exactly
journalism.
The way it
happened. It's a shining example of American journalism.
Hey, yeah. So the next story?
Yeah.
You like that? I'm working on my intro.
I do like
that. So the next story?
That's good, yeah.
Police, this is what they say.
What do the police say?
It says police colon. Not a policeman's colon.
That's gross.
Man steals cop car with DUI suspect inside.
Oh, no.
I'm breaking you out, Johnny. Thanks, man. A 39-year-old Detroit man was arraigned on several charges Wednesday.
Here we
Wednesday
go again
after
with the list. List of charges.
Yeah, here we go. We should have like a top 10 list of charges. A 39-year-old Detroit man was arraigned on several charges Wednesday after he allegedly drove off with an Oak Park police car with a suspect still inside.
I love it.
Duane Rollins is charged with one count of motor vehicle unlawful driving away, one count of third-degree fleeing in a vehicle, one count of assault with a dangerous weapon, two counts of malicious
Good
destruction
grief.
Of a fire or police
How
property.
How do they count this high?
And one count of resisting or obstructing a police officer, according to court officials. You got some water over there, man. That was a lot to say just
then.
During his arraignment in 45th District Court, I love how they always tell us which district court it is.
Like we care.
Yeah, I know. Rollins pleaded not guilty and requested an attorney for his next court date. According to police, the incident began around 4 a.m. Tuesday, 1 hour after.
Devil's hour.
When a patrol car stopped to help the disabled vehicle on 8 Mile between Coolidge and Hubble. A woman in her late 20s drove the vehicle, but there was also a man outside the vehicle who looked as if he was trying to help.
I'm just here to help.
The woman reported a flat tire and
that was actual audio of him.
That was crazy. It was uncanny how you sounded like
him.
It was believed that she was also out of gas. It soon became apparent that the man was not actually with the woman. Or just hanging out with her.
He was just walking by.
Yeah. Police escorted the man to the sidewalk. Kretzmar
says. It was a short trip.
Yeah, really. And watched him clear a substantial distance away from the disabled vehicle before turning their attention back to the car and the woman. Police soon came to believe that the woman had been driving drunk before her car became disabled and arrested her on suspicion of DUI.
That's why her car became disabled. I bet she curbed the heck out of some tires.
Probably. While she was in the back seat of the patrol car, the man who'd initially been helping jumped into the driver's seat and took off down 8 miles.
We're out of here. Hang on, Lucy.
You're going to be my wife. Officers tried to open the door before he drove off, but couldn't. Can't get the door open. Wigglesworth.
How do you open these things?
Hey, Wigglesworth, how do you open this door? Wigglesworth had been demoted a few times.
Yeah, bless his heart.
Officers got inside another patrol car, which apparently was in a dispenser next to them.
This is in Japan.
Officers got inside another patrol car that was on the scene and gave chase. The car headed north on Greenfield, east on 9 Mile, but never left the city. Eventually, the stolen police car voluntarily came to rest.
The car volunteered. Look, buddy, we're done.
On a dead-end street, Albany, and police took the man into custody without incident. No one was injured, Krishmeyer said.
That's a good story. So let's break it down real quick.
All right.
So the cops pull over to help a lady who they think has had a flat tire.
Right.
And they also think she may be out of gas for some reason.
Right.
Maybe
for whatever reason.
The car was off or something. There's a guy that they think's helping.
It was Japan, right?
No, it wasn't Japan.
What'd you say it was?
But I said Japan because of the vending machines they have.
Oh, that was humor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a guy that they think's helping, but he's really not. And they realize the woman's drunk. She's been drunk driving.
They send the other guy off walking.
Right.
Somewhere.
They say they escort him to the sidewalk.
And he's walking off one.
They put the woman in the back of their car.
Give me a police car.
This guy,
I'm gonna make her my wife.
This guy sees his opportunity, jumps in, and takes off with the drunk driver in the back seat.
Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to break that down. Make
That's
sure I had
pretty much
correct.
Everything I just said.
I know. I broke it down.
Hey.
Yeah.
You're going to do this next one, right?
Headline is?
Well, wait. You know what's
what
great?
What a long headline.
You know what's great, though?
What?
We never get tired of Kim Jong-un stories.
Never, ever.
Fatty's just so funny no matter what.
Fatty the third.
And actually, kids, again, this is a good time to underscore that it's not nice to call people names unless you're a fat dictator.
Headline is?
Who kills his own family?
Kim Jong-un has promised to produce North Korean football players that will be more talented than Barcelona's Lionel Messi, who is widely considered the best footballer of his generation.
I'm assuming that's soccer.
It is. Okay. Yes, it is soccer.
I'm thinking there is nothing this guy will not say.
Okay. There is nothing. No.
He will say anything.
Did you just see the picture of the... He supposedly...
Time travel machine.
Did you see where he supposedly climbed the highest mountain in Korea? And the picture, he's got dress shoes on.
The only mountain he's ever climbed is a pile of mashed potatoes.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Okay. And another reason this story's going to be fun is some of the words are just really cool. Ryuhi.
Yes.
You think that's right?
Sure.
Ryuhi, the coach of the country's international school of
Pyongyang. I'll fill that in for you.
Okay,
ready?
Good.
Ready? Start. Here we go.
Okay. Ryuhi, the coach of the country's international school of
Pyongyang
football, stated that North Korea has prioritized football training. We train our youngsters to become more talented players.
Or we kill them. Why did he become Russian?
Than even Lionel Messi, he added. For now, we're looking to dominate Asia, and in the future, I hope we could dominate the world.
Isn't that his? Isn't that his goal?
That
no pun intended.
Yes, it is. The North Korean football team is currently far behind on their goal, with them being ranked 126th in the world out of 205 teams listed by FIFA.
That's higher than they probably would have thought they would have been.
That's more than halfway there. This puts them behind China, who are 84th, and considerably behind fierce rivals, such as South Korea, who ranks 44th.
I don't think he'd call South Korea a rival.
Oh, yeah.
Well, No. They are, but I'm saying in his terms, they're more like a nuisance.
That's true. A video emerged back in 2014 that reportedly showed the country's state-controlled media informing its citizens that their national team had reached the World Cup final in Brazil, beating Japan 7-0, USA 4-0, and China 2-0. They just make up their own news.
They make up everything.
I love it. I'm gonna stop right there because there's not a lot left in that story.
We should just start making up our numbers. Like,
oh,
we hit 1 million listeners.
We had it. We had 5 billion listeners to last episode.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Good.
Tell all your
so
friends
good.
We need to get to 15 trillion listeners.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to tell the story, huh?
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, really, you don't need too much of that guy.
Nah,
anyway.
You don't.
I mean, there's enough of him
there's
going
only
on.
So
right.
much Kim Jong. Wait, what was it? Kim Fatty the Third that you
Kim Fatty. Hey, I guess we should probably go ahead and get the Australian story out of the way.
I'm not doing it.
Nope, no.
I'm not doing it.
Man bring...
I got in trouble this week.
Story... You did?
Yeah, from you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you just need to tone down the bad Australian accent.
I want to apologize to my friends in Australia because...
Yes. We're going
to
tone it down. We've done too much
of it. No, I'm apologizing because you won't let me do my Australian accent.
I'm protecting you from yourself.
Okay.
Man bring... Next story. Ready?
Yeah, I like it.
Next story.
Yeah.
You like it.
Next story.
You like it.
Headline is?
Like it. Man brings two children along on botched robbery at Melbourne Medical Center.
Come on, kids. We're going down to the bank. See if we can't.
What did we just say?
What?
We just said you're not going to do the voice. No, you're not going
to
do the voice.
Want to go to the bank? We'll get a lollipop.
In fact, this isn't even your story to read, so you need to just zip it.
I'm just adding sound effects. I'm not doing an accent. I'm adding a sound effect. Come on, children. We're going down to the bank. Right. That's not a knife.
I mean, we just had this conversation.
I know.
We had a conversation before we started. We said we're not going
to
do this anymore.
You told me not to.
And you're
you said
doing
this episode, you actually, before we started, you said don't do an Australian accent.
Don't do a attempt at an Australian accent.
What'd I do?
You immediately embarrassed us in front of our friends down under.
You know what? We should probably move to Australia. We got more friends in Australia than we do here.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
A man has been caught on CCTV.
I love that channel.
Closed caption television. Yeah, CCTV. You're watching CCTV all day, all night, surveillance.
All the news that's down under.
Could you imagine that?
What?
That reminds me of another radio show, I won't name, but they had a parody they did of the Time Channel. You're watching the Time Channel. It's 4 o'clock.
I don't remember that.
Welcome to the Time Channel. It's now 4:01. A man has been caught on closed caption television, that's CCTV.
Yeah.
Attempting to rob a medical center, or as they spell it down there, Centra, in Melbourne's northwest with two young children in tow. Police, why are you towing them? Why don't you just let them ride in the car?
It's a Prius.
Oh, right. Police said the would-be thief asked staff at the center in Caroline Springs about its opening hours.
That's an American city. Caroline Springs.
I'm sure there's plenty of places named. Can we go on now?
Hey, mate. We're going down to Caroline Springs, right? Going to get to pick up some... bring the kiddies along. I'm going to make a robbery.
It's not even... I mean...
I don't know what that was.
I don't know what you are, okay?
Hey.
Police said the would-be thief asked staff at the center in Caroline Springs about its opening hours about 5:30 p.m. on November 3rd. They believe the same man returned to the center an hour later after it closed and gained access via an internal door to an adjacent business. Hey, hypothetically, when do you guys close?
Let's just say you're going to close,
Let's just say I was interested. Yeah, I'm doing like a poll here.
I'm writing a book.
Write a book. And you guys, what time would you close? Okay, I'll be back in 30 minutes. Security footage showed the man searching through drawers and breaking into a cash register while two children, a boy and a girl, followed him around. It's believed nothing was stolen. I just want to ask a question to our Australian friends. Do you not have times of like store hours on a door down
there?
Yeah,
they do. It's like 0300.
Yes, 0300 to 06 something. But do you not, I mean, is this something that we're taking for granted? Here we have signs that say this is when we open, this is when we close.
We can walk up to a building and
see. We can drive up. How many times do you drive up?
The studio here has hours posted.
Right.
And I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
But they do.
It's not like it's a public joint.
Because you know why? The manager was late this morning. I was standing outside. And it's a bit chilly today.
You need to sack the manager.
You think so?
This is the Lee Berry Studios, my friend.
That's true.
I'll get Lee Berry on the phone right now.
No, you won't.
No, because he died 400 years ago. Founding father. This actually isn't so weird. This is actually kind of cool.
I just put this in there because
you needed filler.
I remember. Do you remember?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, no, I was too young. I mean, I'm too old. I'm too, whichever applies. Stuntman successfully completes Evel Knievel's canyon jump.
Yes.
The Snake River Canyon. When we were kids, we were watching this Evel Knievel, motorcycle stunt guy.
It wasn't his fault.
Got in this rocket, tried to shoot it across the Snake River Canyon, and landed on the side, but he fell short.
Yep. Halfway across, the chute came out.
But now, a guy who wants to one-up a dead guy, who was buried in for 5 days, came back out. No, that was the cat.
I wonder what Robbie Knievel had to say about this.
I don't know. Robbie didn't do it.
Nope.
Okay, let's get to the story. Stuntman successfully completes Evel Knievel's canyon jump. A stuntman has successfully jumped over the Snake River Canyon in a tribute to his boyhood idol, Evel Knievel.
Oh, okay. So Eddie, it's a tribute.
Yeah, it's a tribute.
That's okay.
Eddie Braun, 54.
God, he's almost your age.
Okay. Hurtled across the 1,400-foot wide canyon in southern Idaho in a custom-built rocket dubbed Evil Spirit.
Ooh, I don't think I would want to jump anything in an Evil Spirit.
Well, it's E-V-E-L.
Still.
Evil Spirit.
Whatever.
The rocket hit an estimated 400 miles per hour before its parachute deployed, allowing Mr. Braun to land safely in the fields on the other side. Knievel has failed. Has? Like, okay, Knievel has failed in his attempt to traverse the can. Okay. Again with the English here. This is the way it's written. Yeah, yeah. Knievel fail. Okay, stop. Knievel fry. I don't know what that means. Knievel failed in his attempt to traverse the canyon on September 8, 1974, when his parachute deployed prematurely partway across. He walked away with only minor injuries. Mr. Braun said his rocket was identical to the X-2 SkyCycle. You remember the X-2 SkyCycle?
Absolutely, yeah.
Model used by Knievel, and said he hoped his effort would prove the stuntman could have made it across if his parachute had deployed correctly.
Mattel came out with the X-2 SkyCycle.
It was a toy, yeah. Prior to his attempt, he had asked his young son to walk his sisters down the aisle at their wedding if he died in the attempt.
Good grief.
Wow. Hey, kids, daddy's going to be doing this really big thing. And
if I don't make it back.
You know, I'm real proud of you and all, but listen, if I don't make it back, would you walk your sisters down the aisle in case I'm dead?
No, daddy. I don't even like my sister.
Months of testing were carried out on the Evil Spirit, which was designed by Scott True. Whose father built the original X-2 SkyCycle. Mr. True followed his father's blueprints exactly, apart from the updated parachute system, which, of course, I hope he did update.
That's what I was about to say. I think I would have got somebody else maybe to design it.
Yeah, I think I would have got somebody else. Before the jump, Mr. Braun told the Idaho Statesman, hey, bring the Statesman over here. I need to tell him something. Before the jump, Mr. Braun told the Idaho Statesman, I'd like to say I'm not doing something that Evel Knievel couldn't do. I'm simply finishing out his dream. How many people get to finish the dream of their hero? Mr. Braun is believed to be the first person to attempt the stunt since Knievel failed more than 40 years ago.
Oh, man, that makes me feel old.
Yeah, well, I wasn't born yet. Man planning a murder accidentally texts his boss instead of a hitman.
What an idiot.
I don't know. You've sent me a couple texts that didn't belong to me.
I have, but none of them asking you to murder my wife.
That you know of, that I know of.
What?
Wait, what? Ew. Anyway, a Washington man has been put in jail after plotting to hire someone to kill his wife and 4-year-old daughter. Okay, I take it back. This isn't funny at all.
No, it's not.
It was funny. The headline was funny. It's not funny.
Well,
what
we got to finish it now.
Yeah, but I want to put a disclaimer there. That's not funny.
No.
What's funny is that he was so stupid he was trying to text a hitman. That's funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was hiring someone to kill his wife and 4-year-old daughter. Police said they were tipped off to his plan after the man accidentally sent a text message to his former boss instead of a hitman.
Good grief.
The message read, hey, Shane.
That must be the hitman.
Must be. How's it going? Oh, hey, Shane. How's it going?
How's the family?
Remember that time you said you'd help me if... kill my wife. I'm kind of going to take you up on that offer.
Good night.
Life insurance is worth $1 million. If you want a bonus, you can kill JL. Her life insurance is $500,000. The initials JL refer to the man's daughter. He even texted how to carry out the murder.
Oh, my goodness.
If you can make it look like a robbery gone wrong or make it like an accident, she works at a Walmart. She gets off at 11. The man currently being held on a $1 million bail, which is not nearly enough.
So his boss did the right thing.
Yes.
And then took it to the police.
Well, his boss would have been an accessory if he didn't.
That's true. Hey, we got an update.
Guys, that's true.
That's true. Update on a story we brought you earlier.
Okay.
You remember we had the story of the old man that was arrested because
he was eating a donut.
He was eating a donut, and they thought that the glaze was meth.
And that glaze breaks off like little pieces of glass. They just fall everywhere.
Orlando officer who mistook donut glaze for crystal meth disciplined.
I think you took care of this when you were in Orlando.
Yeah.
You found him, and you took care of
it. I took care of it. An Orlando police officer arrested a man after mistaking donut glaze for meth has been disciplined, officials said. The Orlando Sentinel reported that Corporal Shelby Riggs Hopkins was given a written reprimand for making an improper arrest.
Well, that's hardly discipline.
That's like a slap. That's not even a slap on the wrist. That might have stung. An internal affairs report released Thursday by the Orlando Police Department found no evidence that she acted in bad faith. The report said the department never trained its officers to use the department-issued roadside drug test. That says a lot for their department. They never even trained them to use these drugs. How many other drugs? Everybody that's in jail for meth right now should call their attorneys.
I want to know, before I give her a pass, I want to know, It was a her, right?
Yeah, it was.
I want to give, before I give her a pass, I want to see if there is anything related to meth that looks like glaze.
Oh, I'm sure
off
there is.
A donut.
Yeah. Plus, you know, I think that Krispy Kreme might actually add a little bit of that to theirs. Because,
well, that's how they keep you coming back.
They keep me coming back.
Make it fortnightly.
That's right.
Let's get straight to the poop story.
Go ahead.
Poop pleads guilty.
Poop pleads guilty.
Lives up to name.
Oh, no. I remember this.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
The case is United States of America versus Mark Jones,
Mark
Jr.,
Jones.
Also known as Poop. Poop's real name is Mark Jones Jr., but he goes by Poop.
Poop.
Everyone calls him Poop.
Poop.
You're echoing everything I say.
Sorry.
Stop it. Even his father, Pimp Juice, and his brother, Bug, they all call him Poop.
Let me get this straight. Pimp Juice and Bug call Poop Poop?
Yes.
Okay.
They've all got cute little names for each other. Oh, Pimp Juice and his brother, Bug. Anyway, Poop is a 29-year-old man who pleaded guilty last week to felony drug and gun charges in U.S. District Court in Rochester. Federal prosecutors allege he led a heroin ring. That's a ring of female superheroes.
Yes, Wonder Woman.
Yes, all those. Well, there's only one.
Catwoman.
Catwoman. Yeah. Well, she was bad, wasn't she?
Supergirl.
Okay.
I could go on for days.
Maybe. I wish you wouldn't. But anyway, so he led a heroin, the drug,
yeah.
ring, in the Southern Tier, referred to in court papers as the Poop DTO, or Drug Trafficking Organization.
So, wow.
Poop lived in Wilkes Barre, Pennsylvania, in a house with children and lots of drugs, guns, and cash, according to the complaint against him and others.
He does live up to his name.
Poop got a crib in Wilkes Barre, Pimp Juice allegedly told an undercover informant. His little boys is three of them. Some young kids. Moving stuff is hard for Poop. They got guns in the crib. They got dope in the crib. They got money in the crib. Pimp Juice, who is 53 and whose name suggests he's irresistible to women, was a lackey for Poop. At one point, Pimp Juice allegedly complained of having to stay up all night to prepare his son's heroin for street sales.
I got to get up in the morning and, well, do nothing.
I know. You got to bag it up. You got to tape it up. Then you got to rubber band it up. Pimp Juice griped, according to the complaint. Poop is paying me to bag it up. And I want to just say here, it's... I'm going by the name.
That's
I might be stereotyping,
no,
but I think you nailed it. I think I probably,
yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I don't honestly know any honkies that go by the name Poop.
No, I don't.
Are we going to get in trouble? We're going to get letters.
I don't think so.
Okay. Anywho, federal agents and state and local police had been on to Poop like flies on Poop. Wait, they repeat it. Wait.
They did.
Federal agents and state and local police had been on to Poop like flies on Poop. Poopity poop, poop, poop.
Pooping to Poop.
Since July 2015. They alleged in the complaint that Poop had been peddling heroin in the Southern Tier for at least 2 years and that his operation ran like this.
Oh, good.
Ready?
Yeah, instruct us.
Poop bought his heroin from suppliers named Reef and Punta.
Oh, no.
A couple of couriers named Woody and Body transported the dope from Elmira in Chemung County, where it was overseen by Bug, who stashed it at his grandmother's house.
Reef and Punta.
You guys got all that? You got it?
I got it.
This is how it ran, okay? From there, according to the complaint, the Poop DTO entrusted the heroin to Pimp Juice for packaging and to Body and another guy named Ree for selling. All eight of them were arrested in a series of sweeps. They were sweeping up the poop.
Yes.
In addition to Poop, two of them, Punta and Body, have since... I just like to say Punta and Body have since pleaded guilty. All of them face from 10 years to life in prison.
Good grief. And I bet Bug is mad because he was completely cut out of the whole business.
Possibly, yeah. Poop and the gang.
I got all their albums.
Yeah, they're great. talked of becoming the dominant heroin pushers in Elmira and using violence to edge out the competition, according to the complaint. If that's not the handiwork of a piece of poop, I don't know what is.
Beautiful story.
That was awesome.
That is like the story of all stories.
That's going to go in the
Hall of Poop.
Hall of Poop.
Yes.
That's just amazing.
Before we go, yeah. I want to know your favorite soda. What is your, I said I love Coke, but it's not my favorite soda.
Right now, my favorite one's Diet Mountain Dew. I drink Diet because if I didn't, I'd be taking so much in, I'd be the size of a house.
So you'd rather have cancer than be large. Okay, I understand.
Either way,
that.
One or the other is going to cause
sure,
it.
Sure, whatever.
So I would say Diet Mountain Dew, and then I like Diet Dr. Pepper.
I said cola. Hello.
Just cola flavored.
What is your favorite cola? Not soda. Cola.
Well, cola flavor would be Diet Cola. Diet Coke.
Diet Coke is your favorite.
That's, well, no, that's the cola flavor.
No, what is your favorite cola? That's what I'm asking
cola
you.
Cola is the cola flavor. It's the brown-looking soda is like more like a that's what I would call cola. What do you call cola?
Cola is a flavor. It's like Coke is a cola.
That's what I just said.
Cola is. All right, you want to know the list? You want to know the list of colas?
Okay.
Pepsi.
Okay.
Pepsi Cola.
Uh-huh.
It's 7-Up is not a cola.
No.
Okay.
It's the un-cola.
Because you got Coke, Pepsi, Royal Crown.
Yeah, RC.
Double Cola.
Yeah. Are those around anymore?
Yeah, at Cracker Barrel. And the reason I know that is because that is my favorite soda.
Double Cola?
Double Cola.
They used to come in that little bitty bottle with the styrofoam wrapping around them at the bottom. Remember that?
And the 70s and 80s they did that, yeah.
I just said used to.
But they've been around a lot longer than that.
So have you.
Not really.
So back to the cola thing. If I have to drink an actual cola. Now, I wonder if, I guess, you know, Dr. Pepper comes close because it's more of
a. It's not.
But it's not
nope.
really cola. So it's the cola, cola flavor, I'd say the cola flavor would be Coca-Cola would be my favorite. Forget the diet or whatever. Just the Coke flavor. I like Coke flavor.
I think I actually like.
I think we've spent too much time on this.
I don't. I think I actually like RC.
I don't like RC.
Oh, I love RC.
I don't like RC.
It's not as sweet.
This is a guy who says, admitted to everybody, he doesn't drink sodas. And you're saying,
I love it. I got to have it. Give me some more RC. That was my favorite. I haven't had a soda in a while, but when I did, RCs are easy to come by around here.
Yeah.
So I would get an RC. If I was at Cracker Barrel, I'd get a double cola.
I like to switch it up now and then.
Yeah.
Like, I like Sprite and 7-Up.
Yeah, I don't really like
there was
soda.
There was a. Okay, so why do we go through all this? Diet Mountain Dew, though. I like that.
Yeah.